Welcome back to Book Club. Today is day 9. If you're still with us, keeping up, congratulations. You know, I'm the type of guy that I've never finished a novena in 9 days. And so if you have gone 9 for 9, reading the chapters and following up with the videos, keeping up with the videos, I just want to applaud you, say that you're basically my life's hero, because I've never been able to do anything even close to as amazing as what you've done in the last 9 days. So, which I guess is really like 11 days because the weekend. Anyways, chapter 9, what are we talking about here today? Talking about temptation. Specifically, he's talking about Screwtape is talking about using sexual temptation to detract Christians and remove them away from God. Now, one thing that really stood out to me in that first page was talking about how the temptations are always more effective whenever the man's world is drab and cold and empty. This is something that I think is really important, because I think there's something very seeking excellence-esque, if you will, about this here passage. To think about the fact that spiritual attacks, spiritual temptations are more impacted when your life is cold and empty. But what makes your life cold and empty? It could be a number of different things. But I think one of the things that really impacts that, or the number, several different things that really impact whether or not your life feels cold and empty, is the other 7 pillars, right? If you're very unfulfilled in your work, if you have empty relationships that and a lot of relationship problems, if you have financial problems, if you have bad mental health practices and just mental health in general, that's going to make your life feel drab and cold and empty, right? And so you're going to be more prone to falling into the spiritual attacks, falling into the temptation that is inevitably going to come your way. Also, new microphone today, if you haven't noticed. So I got a new mic today on Marketplace, got a second one just like this coming in so we can ball out on in-person interviews. Also have some new stuff and a new strategy and plan for some in-person interviews, so I'm really excited about that as well. But thinking about all this, right, I think another thing on the next page that I found really interesting is talking about how anytime the demons are dealing in pleasure, they're on the enemy's territory, the enemy being God. Why is that? It's because God created the pleasures, right? And so God created pleasures. He had good intentions when he was creating pleasures. And so whenever they do that, they're operating on his territory, because pleasures and the good things of life always point us towards the ultimate good, right? In a sense, when they get distorted, that's when they start to not do that. But when they're used in their proper form, they always point us towards the ultimate good, which is God, which is heaven, which is virtue and holiness. And so he says, all we can do is encourage the humans to take the pleasures which our enemy has produced at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. And this is such a good kind of interpretation of what the demons must think about when it comes to sexuality. Because what the church has really tried to avoid, and I think has really gotten to a better place at explaining through theology of the body, is that, you know, the body, sexuality, like these are not bad things. They've been stigmatized, and for a long time we were very puritanical about them, and you have a lot of religious families and things like that that would never even discuss it, would never talk about sexuality, never bring up any of these things, and just kind of avoid it, kind of act like it was shameful to talk about. And what St. John Paul II really, I think, did a great job of is saying, hey, we don't have to be ashamed of this, right? We don't have to be so stigmatized or embarrassed about talking about sexuality. It's a good thing. And so what he's trying to get us to do, what the devil wants us to do, is use it in times or ways or degrees that the enemy has, that God has forbidden us to use these things for. He also in this chapter talks about what I mentioned yesterday, which is that their goal is to get a man, to get the man's soul and give him nothing in return. He says that's what really gladdens the devil's heart. And so we know this, right? Again, sexuality is the great example of this. If you've ever struggle with any form of sexual sin, which many people have, I know I have, then you know that if you fall into temptation, especially post-conversion, you recognize that you're given this brief pleasure, and then the trade-off is so poor to take a brief pleasure and lose a state of grace, to lose the fruits of the Holy Spirit by falling into mortal sin is a horrible trade. So what does he try to get us to think about? He tries to use this temptation, this temptation of sexuality or bodily sins to get the man into this kind of philosophy of moderation in all things. And I recently was listening to a podcast of Andrew Huberman on Chris Williams' show, Modern Wisdom. And one thing that he kept talking about was live and let live. Andrew Huberman said he's really big on live and let live. And I think this concept of moderation in all things really is popular in today's world and has been popular for many decades now. But he basically says that this line that I think is so, so important as we get into moderation in all things. This is what a lot of people do, right? They might find one or two areas in their life. I talked about this with the seven pillars. You might find one or two areas in your life that you feel passionate about. Maybe it's fitness, maybe it's your job, maybe it's a relationship. And you pour everything into that, and then it's kind of like moderation and mediocrity in all the other areas. Maybe one or two areas you just kind of ignore. Maybe you ignore managing your finances. Maybe you ignore your mental health. Maybe you ignore learning, you know, being a lifelong learner. Maybe you ignore your spiritual life, whatever it might be. And we just kind of have this idea that moderation in all things, right? We don't want to go overboard. And the Screwtape has this very, very critical line here where he says, a moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all. I want to say that line again. A moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all. That's really, really powerful. I remember, you know, doing a video on this, and this is another, I think it's a C.S. Lewis quote, but it might be like Tolkien or Chesterton that says Christianity can't be of moderate importance. It's either of the utmost importance or it's of no importance at all. But either if Christianity is true, if this religion is true, if Catholicism is true, it can't be just a mediocre part of your life. It either should be everything or nothing. So you have to evaluate and determine whether or not you believe that it's true. And if you determine that it is true, then it should be the most important thing in your life. It's the only thing that makes sense. So he says, to keep his mind off the plain antithesis between true and false. Nice shadowy expressions. It was a phase. I've been through all that. And don't forget the blessed word adolescent. That's how he ends the chapter there. And I think this idea that we don't want humans thinking about true or false is so, so real today as well. Sorry about that. I saw a different video online. Who was it? It was actually Dave Chappelle. This is really funny. So Dave Chappelle was given like a college graduation speech, a commencement speech. And he was saying how we've gotten away from right and wrong. And people now are trying to create a world of better and worse. And I was like, man, how real is that? How powerful is that? To think about the fact that we don't want to talk about right and wrong anymore. We just want to say, well, something's better, something's worse. And I see this mentality, this evasion of right and wrong, of true morality has really seeped into the church as well. And I see this with the pushback I get every time I talk about ideals. Because people don't even like, not only do people want to get away from right and wrong to better or worse, we even are trying to get away from better or worse because it's not good to say that something's better or worse. We just want kind of everything to be considered equal. I think we're kind of in that next phase where we're even leaving behind this idea of something being better and worse. We're now getting to this like phase of humanity where we just want to say that everything's equal. Everything's good. You just discern and determine your own good and you live on that. And you base your whole life on that. And that's what it is. And I think we have to be very careful with that. We recognize that the devil wants to use that in our lives to teach us that anything you do is good. There's no better or worse. Just follow your heart. Just follow your feelings. And we know that we have to avoid that. And we find ourselves following our feelings, following our heart. We usually find ourselves with a moderated religion, which eventually becomes no religion at all. And it either becomes no religion at all here in this life or in the afterlife. But I think it's really interesting how he says that a moderated religion is as good as no religion at all. And he says it's more amusing. And this goes back to what I talked about before of I think there's probably a lot of people who end up in hell. Or it's possible that a lot of people end up in hell. This is my personal thought. I think it's common that a lot of people who say they were good people throughout their lives say, wait, but I was a good person. And maybe even, you know, I went to church on Sundays and whatever. But have never really had conversions of heart, never really submitted themselves to God, their lives, their hearts, their minds, their souls, their careers, their family life, have never really given that to God. We hold back. And God doesn't want any part of that. God wants us to be all in, or there's nothing beneficial. I love the line, I've said it many times, the devil owns the fence. So So we can't sit on the fence of right and wrong. We can't sit on the fence of a moderated religion. We have to go all in. So let's go all in today. Thanks for joining. I'll see you tomorrow.